Man, thank you guys. Sam doesn't even get a day off on his baptism. Good man. Well, I just want to take a couple of minutes of your time before we head out into our cars and drive down the road to Rest Bay Close to baptize these two. And I want to take a few moments of your time just to look at a little story from the Bible. I almost hesitate to ask this question, but who's into their geeky and slightly tragic Bible jokes? That's not many of them. We got one, and he's not even from here. Good. We're glad you're here. Well, who can tell me? I almost, why am I saying this? Who can tell me the first, Lynn, you should be able to get this, the first Irish man in the Bible? The first Irish man in the Bible. Someone's got this. Come on. I'm going to put you out of your misery. First Irish man in the Bible was, drumroll, Nicodemus. Nick O'Demus. It takes a special kind of Bible geek to laugh at that, right? I promise never, ever, ever again to inflict on you a bad Bible. Sorry. We're going to Nicodemus today. That's our entrance. John chapter 3. I'm just going to read to you this amazing account of a man called Nicodemus, who was not, in fact, Irish, and his encounter with Jesus. Now, this is from John's Gospel, chapter 3. He says this. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God was not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. But how can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? For no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. It's a funny little story, isn't it? And let's face it, no one in their right mind would want to be born again. You wouldn't want to. No mother would ever want to give birth again. Once is probably quite enough for one child. And that makes this conversation between Jesus and this man, Nicodemus, all the more strange, almost cryptic. And you read it and you think, well, what is going on here? We've got this man called Nicodemus who tracks down Jesus late at night and in the shadows approaches him, doesn't want anyone to see him, and he comes to him. What's going on here? He's got big questions about life, more questions than he's got answers. And he's afraid to ridicule himself in society by admitting that he doesn't have the answers. It takes an incredible kind of boldness in a culture like theirs and like ours to say, I don't know. And yet Nicodemus comes, albeit in the dark, to Jesus saying, I just don't know. And he comes with this question deep in his soul that he doesn't even know he's asking. And yet when he comes to Jesus and asks him, are you the teacher? Jesus answers the question that he doesn't know he's asking. How can you enter the kingdom of God? Really, you could ask it like this. How can you know God? And how can you know all that God is? And how can you receive the life that God gives? And the irony of this whole story is this. If anyone was going to know the answer to that question, it would be Nicodemus, a teacher, a Jewish leader. If anyone would know God personally, it would be this man. He is the expert on God. Well, today, if we want to know anything about anything, what do we do? Where do we go to? Google. Google. With one accord, we say Google is the answer to anything and everything. In their day, if you had a question about God, you didn't have Google, so you would have gone to the religious expert. Nicodemus was just that man. But what Jesus says to him seems to completely stump him. It's as if he pulls the rug from the ground on which he's standing, and all of a sudden, all the religious knowledge he has counts for zip, for nothing. Everything he ever knew about God now seems worthless. And in reality, he finds that he knows far less than he ever thought he did. And Jesus says to him, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Now Jesus, by kingdom of God, didn't so much mean some realm with courtrooms and judges and a land with borders and customs entry points and a king with a crown on his head sitting in a palace. He's talking about a time when God himself will intervene in the lives of his people and will reign in peace and life and joy in the lives of his people. When God would make a difference to the lives of people living in this world and would break into broken, poverty-stricken lives, break into lives that are far from him with the knowledge of his presence and say, here I am. It's kind of what Jesus means when he speaks of the kingdom. It's a time when God comes near and reigns forevermore in the lives of his people. And he says, look, you're not going to see this kingdom and God's reign until you're born again. And Nicodemus at this point has even less clue what Jesus is talking about. All Nicodemus really gets about Jesus is this: you are from God. You're a teacher come from God. That's all I get about you. By the things you're doing, the miracles you're working, and the words you're saying, you're from God, but beyond that, I don't know what you're saying. It's a little bit like, how many of you have spoken to a 10-year-old recently? A few of you have. And when you, I don't know about my 10-year-old, when you speak to him, you can have a conversation, and by the end of it, you kind of have no idea what the conversation has all been about. Anyone been there? It can delve into some computer game or some technology I've never even heard of or some game they play at school, and you're there kind of nodding and smiling going, yes, very good. But you haven't the faintest, desperately trying to keep up with what on earth is going on by the end, clueless. That's Nicodemus here. He's like the one chatting to someone who he's got no idea what this conversation is all about. And maybe for some of us, we feel in life a little bit like Nicodemus. It was so refreshing, Don, to hear your testimony and to hear how a man who has achieved so much, succeeded so greatly, achieved so much academically as well, has got to this place where you say, well, actually, I'm not in control of my life. And I really don't know all the answers. That's Nicodemus at this point. A man who's got so far and yet realizes as he meets Jesus, the one who he says has come from God, realizes actually he knows so little. Maybe for some of us that's where we are. Maybe you've got those questions and no answers. Maybe you've got those yearnings deep in your soul and you don't even know what the questions are. You couldn't even formulate them. You just know there's an intense longing, a yearning in your life, and you can't say anything more than that. Well, I think Nicodemus is in just that boat. I know there's more, it's as if he's saying. And I know Jesus has got something to do with it because he's from God, but I'm clueless beyond that. And so Nicodemus kind of stumbling in the dark when Jesus says, if you want to see this kingdom, if you want to know God and have him intervene in your life personally, you've got to be born again. Nicodemus, stumbling in the dark, says, surely you can't be born again. Biologically impossible. We've got a doctor here who will happily tell you that this morning. Impossible. And it kind of raises this question for each one of us. Where do you go to with the deepest questions of your life? Who do you go to? Who do you seek out? Google? A religious leader, though I suspect probably not so much today as 2,000 years ago. A professor? A documentary on National Geographic? Who do you go to for the answers in life? Someone who's read a lot of books? Who? Well, in this story, it's almost like at this point in Nicodemus' life, everything is laid bare. Everything. It's like the man who has all the answers suddenly discovers he has none. The man who teaches others about God suddenly finds out he knows nothing about God at all. So where do you find your meaning in life? Where are you grounded in life? Where do your roots go? What is your identity based in? Where do you place your hope when life goes dramatically wrong? And for many of us, just like Nicodemus, it's only when we're forced to think outside of the things we do know that we find we really don't know a great deal, least of all about our own lives. Isn't it a funny thing? I don't know about you, but it seems to me the older you get in life, the less you realize you actually know about your own life. Maybe the less well you feel you know yourself. That's certainly true here for this man. In fact, Jesus is going to go on to say this. When Nicodemus is again stumped by Jesus, Jesus says, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Now, Jesus is making this extraordinary claim. He's kind of echoing what Nicodemus said right at the beginning. You are from God. Jesus here is claiming to be nothing less than the divine hope of all mankind. Not a wise man or a moral leader, but a divine rescuer on a mission to save broken and lost and hurting people. God on a mission to save people who are far from God and who half the time don't even realize it, just like Nicodemus. See, here's the problem that underlies this story in Nicodemus's life. Everything that he thinks he knows about God comes from another person. Another man or a woman, people who spiritually at least are no different to him. And see, the Bible all the way through makes this claim that we as human beings are alienated from God. It's our natural state that in our own souls, in our own DNA, there is something in us that resists him, that chooses to love myself rather than him, that even the most selfless of us ultimately, we'll put ourselves first. And so we are far from him and alienated from him, unable to see him or know him naturally. Now Jesus comes and he says, "Look, I have come from heaven to earth. I'm making him known. I've come from there to here. And if you want to see this hope-giving God, and if you want to be in his life-giving, joy-filled kingdom, and to know personally this King of Kings, you must be born again." What does he mean by that? Well, he carries on in verse 6, and he talks about being born, made alive by the Spirit of the living God. And today, as we celebrate baptism on this very special day, this and all the water is all about that. It's all about the power of God through his Holy Spirit, who gladly comes into our lives and brings new life. And as we stand beside Sam and Don a little later, and we immerse them into the water, which I'm reliably informed is warm and not cold, as you go into that water and you rise out of it, we declare God makes people alive. He takes people who are far away from him, who are hopeless, who are broken, who are alienated from God, and through Jesus, he makes them alive. He takes them at their worst and makes them their best. See, this is the ultimate story of the Bible. The God who comes to people just like you and I, like Sam and like Don, when they cry out to him and he makes them alive. And it is a glorious, glorious story. See, what these two have in common this morning, and interestingly, what Nicodemus would also have in common is this, that they have trusted in Jesus, in God's rescuer. You see, ultimately today, I don't know what you think of baptism. Baptism isn't some religious ritual. It's not some empty choice these men have decided to make. It's not some ceremony or religious duty. It's none of those things. In fact, it's something far richer, far more joyful. It's not something that they have to do to get God's attention, but it is a glorious picture of what God has already done in them. As we look at them in a few minutes going into the water and coming out of it, we are seeing an image, a retelling of a story, and it is the greatest story this world has ever known. And it's the story of God coming into broken people's lives and lifting them up out of darkness and death and bringing them into new life through his Son. I don't know where you are at the moment in your walk with God. Maybe some of you have been sitting in this church for many, many years. And yet you're still with Nicodemus. Maybe you're still saying, I don't know God. Maybe some of you have never been in a church building for many, many years. And you're the same and you say, look, I don't know if I even know what the question to life is today. Less who Jesus is. And yet today is all about the God who comes to us. We don't have to find him. We don't have to seek him. He comes to us in our brokenness and lostness. And he comes with the richest and deepest love. And he says, look, if you cry out to me, I'm going to make you alive. Spiritually alive. Truly alive. Maybe that seems like quite a claim to you because we're all living, right? We've all got a pulse. And yet, what Jesus is saying is this. We don't truly live until we live to God. Until we're made alive to knowing him. To walking in the relationship that he made us to be in right back at the beginning. Friends, I don't know how you look at your own life, but I do know how God sees you. And he sees you as precious. He sees you as loved. He sees you as one who, Don said earlier, has a plan for your life. And always has done, since before you were even born. And his yearning for your life is that you walk with him and you know him, that you're made alive to him. You don't want to hear me talking for a long time this morning. It's getting hot in here, right? So I just want to pray. And maybe for some of you this morning, maybe as you're here to celebrate baptisms, maybe you're here and you didn't even know there were going to be baptisms. Maybe for you this morning, something of Nicodemus' searching, his story, resonates with your story. I wonder if you just bow your head with me for a moment. I'm going to ask Lee just to come up and Josh as well, and they're just going to play quietly as we finish our service. They're going to play us out of this room. But maybe for you today, something is awaking in your soul. A yearning, a longing, a question that you never knew was being asked. And today, as you hear what Jesus said and still says today, you just feel that sense of draw, a pulling on your soul. I just invite you in these few quiet moments to come to him, to cry out to him. It can be the simplest prayer ever. It might simply be, Lord, I'm far from you, and I'm broken, and I don't know where to go, but I trust in you. It might be that simple. And just in these quiet moments as the guys start to play, call out to him. Father, thank you this morning that you're the God who comes to us and who never leaves us. Thank you that you call each one of us to know you, to know your presence in our lives and to know the joy that you fill our souls with. Thank you today that our hope doesn't rest on empty words or empty promises, Thank you that our hope rests on Jesus Christ. Our hope rests on an empty grave, death defeated, life poured out without end. Thank you for these two men who today can say we live because Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. And for those in this room who today maybe are saying, I don't know this life and I don't know this Jesus, Lord, we come before your throne with empty hands. We come with all the guilt and brokenness of our own lives, and we come to be washed clean, whiter than snow. We come to receive new life in all its fullness. We come today to truly live and to live to God. We just pray, Lord, that as we finish our time together now, that you would send us out of this place in blessing and joy and celebration, and that as we go and we share these glorious moments together of baptism, we pray for a significant moment in the lives of these two. And we pray that maybe this day will lead to more days like this, to more days where some of us in this room will go on to be baptized and to celebrate the life that you've given to us. And we pray that this day for Don and for Sam would be a stepping stone to knowing more of you, more of your power and grace in their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.